Thank you. It's so great to have a dedicated microphone height adjuster. I've never been to a reading with that wonderful benefit. Thank you very much. I am many things, but I'm a transracial adoptive mom, and I've been writing about whiteness from that perspective. All the poems in this new manuscript are quite short, so I'm just going to read a selection of them. Yes, that's all I'll say. Here's a slot in the air where a hello could go. Hell, too radiant, a bit forced, a fever I could cool with low. Low, having been released, lands between us, creaky as an ancient office machine. There must be a word for the feeling of my whiteness, something like the knot in aeronautical, something like stretchery. There must be a way to taste whiteness, to sing it. If there's a word for the tightness of an overtuned drumhead, the pinch of a trampoline spring when you're in the air, what is it? And the Velveteen Rabbit. Not that everyone in this children's book is white, although they are, but what the rabbit itself is stuffed with. There, a bit of fluff stuck to my shirt. I go to brush it off. It becomes the dusk of Maine summers. Behold, the Velveteen Rabbit was viral. It held contagion. It was supposed to be burned. Instead, it became real. It multiplied. We were six families who brought names with us to Vietnam. These names we brought to name the babies were an invasive species that clung to our luggage and strollers and footsoles. Some of us thought ourselves saviors. Some of us shut ourselves in hostels with white American names. To cover the babies, we brought with us white American names. The names were so big they split the seams of silk ausais. Grandmothers threw handkerchiefs over us. They said, keep the babies out of the sun. The babies we carried against our chests in sweat. What passed through our damp shirts to their faces was the names. We tracked them through alleys and clinics and embassies and rice fields and crab nets. The digs were gone before I was born. They had been blastulated out of the city. In our neighborhood, where blanks, where N-words used to be, our homes were hopeful. The stained things had been replaced with dignity. Dignity was enormous, installable. It filled whole rooms, displaced even the air inside the TV. We dined each night on a clean ether. Our souls were tight. We hoped for anyone to come and eat, but we had only set a place for dignity. So what I'm doing in these poems is attempting to trace the most kind of subtle, like the thinnest wires of the American whiteness machine. So the book isn't so much like other fantastic books like Claudia Rankine's Citizen that include more vignettes or images of broad stroke racism, although some quite subtle instances of racism in those too. But in these poems, I'm really trying to see in my colorblind, liberal, racist upbringing, like, how did it happen? Where did it happen? And I've come in the many, many, many years I've been working on this manuscript and mostly writing horrible poems, which I've thrown out, that these thinnest wires really run through all of us. And the American whiteness machine functions so well when all of these thin wires that run through all of us are all connected and running really well. And they're extremely hard to see, I think. So anyway, what I'm trying to do is see them and point to them. Okay. Sitting around with my white girlfriends in high school, someone would say, Well, that's the way it is with black people. The subject at hand was drugs, maybe, or being poor, or kids in after-school detention. That's the way it is. We nodded without looking at each other. Then one of us would say, "It's sad." We entered sadness then. It held us. 16 girls in Cincinnati. Melancholy made our ideas about black people feel not hard or foreign, like something we should remove from our eye, but soft, like a shag rug. How could we be racist? We were sad. Where did this sadness come from? We didn't ask. Questions did not come up between us. We agreed because agreeing contained us. It felt like love. I wrote that poem after reading this fantastic book called, I think it's called The Melancholy of Race, that really opened my eyes to a lot of things. I mean, really, how brilliant to get racism to ride sadness, you know? Because everyone's friends with sadness, especially teenage girls. Oh my God, so melancholy. It's very easy for those wires to all get wired up at that moment in my life. If blood in this poem could connect my son and me, as I am called by blood to bless the Torah, called up as daughter of, Batya Elka Bat Chayasara V'Daniel Dov. Instead, someone with a clipboard calls my name and I'm handed a son. A boy was handed to me through the air, and I remember the air. I remember the clipboard. I am handed a glass of water, and a few minutes later, a son. I remember the glass had red stripes. An Australian medic put the baby on a scale and said, "They're not all so handsome." How light was the boy in my arms. I remember afterward finding ants in the half sandwich I left in the car. In this poem, a space where nut brown and wood used to be, words my son has used to describe the color of his arms. Today, he says for the first time, "I am black." Meanwhile, I wait in the empty space for his color of my arms word. It has always been something easy and light, like a summer bedsheet. Today, he says for the first time, "You are white." Black and white have just the right weight in this poem, not too heavy, not too light. The work of distinguishing hues felt messy and true. The new words have truth for how they calm him. I have no reasonable access to his truth. How am I doing on time? Zero. All right. We are two people walking down St. Clair Street, neither of us crossing away from each other. Do we pass close to each other because it is easier, because it is harder? Is this a choice, a trending? Have we come to the edge? Is it a receding, a pivot, a harm? I feel a steadying, like a hand at the base of my back. Does this force guide me toward you or away? Are we supposed to cross away from each other, make two wakes? The po in the middle of supposed blows me forward gently like breath in a paper boat. Shame steams like breath in my ear. Trust feels about the same. We are not heroes or eagles, just two people getting home. Thank you. Thank you. Our next reader is the splendid and fabulous Adriana Ramirez.